The views and opinions expressed in this episode of Joe Downtown do not necessarily reflect those of 91.5 The Source or its staff.
Hello and welcome to the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM, The Source. Each week we'll be discussing all things relating to downtown Las Vegas, its rebirth, failures, successes, and the many interesting people working and living in a part of the city that until very recently was largely forgotten and shunned by residents and tourists alike. I'm Joe Shaneman, a Las Vegas Sun reporter who also writes a regular column in Las Vegas Weekly. You can find me in both publications and online under the heading of Joe Downtown. If you have ideas for future shows, send me an email at joe.downtown@lasvegassun.com or at my Twitter account at joedowntownlv. As you listen, you might hear the bustle and tinkling of silverware or the murmur of voices and laughter in the background. That's because we're taping this at the Beat Coffee House in the Emergency Arts Building at 6th and Fremont Streets. Though the show is taped, we hope to soon be broadcasting live so we can take your calls and comments and questions. So, let's get to the show. Now, if nothing else, downtown Las Vegas has become home to those seeking their fortune. Everyone has heard of Tony Hsieh's downtown project and its $350 million investment in downtown's redevelopment. Like miners to California, or maybe more appropriately, swallows to Capistrano, swarms of people in the last 2 years have moved into town seeking a slice of Tony's pie. Downtown Project is a partner in numerous small businesses trying to take root down here. Many of those will soon open in the downtown container park. And then there are those doing it largely on their own. My two guests today fit that bill. The first is George Harris, owner of Mundo Restaurant at World Market Center, just off Charleston Boulevard and west of the Smith Center. He also owns Mingo, a bar restaurant in Art Square, which is at Main Street in Charleston, and he distills his own tequila, alien tequila. Harris is also a political junkie. His dossier reads like a who's who of Republican operatives. Publisher of the conservative libertarian magazine Liberty Watch, former finance chair for the state GOP. He ran for Las Vegas mayor in 2011 with an appeal to rid downtown streets of parking meters, and he was national co-chair of Newt Gingrich's finance team in 2012. Now, even with that background, or some of the more conspiratorially minded might say because of that background, even Harris has had difficulties getting his businesses off the ground in Las Vegas. In fact, to say his journey took him to the seventh circle of hell to open Mingo might be an understatement. Is it any wonder that his alien tequila is manufactured in Mexico? And one more thing, speaking of aliens, George has some interesting thoughts on the reality of those things, as he recently told me in a barroom conversation. If we have time, we'll get to that. But back here in the humble Beat Coffee House on Earth, welcome, George.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Joe. Downtown Joe.
First off, let me pass on a little bit of my own homespun beliefs. I guess I and other people tend to think of Republicans and businesses as one in the same, bottom line oriented. We also tend to believe that those in business have an easier time in life than those of us working for the owners. But from your experience and from what you and I have talked about in the past, that doesn't seem to be supported. More specifically, you've told me something of a horror story in getting Mingo open. Tell me a bit about that. When you started the process...
Well, first, let me ask your first question about Republicans.
My supposition? Yeah.
Your supposition, sure. Which is, of course, incorrect and fails to have any...
Republicans are just doing it all for the good...
Any credibility. Right. Well, first, let me explain something to you. I work about 88 hours a week. That's one. So I work more than all my employees.
I know that.
I have never laid off an employee. I have taken pay cuts. I've made all my managers take pay cuts. So during the storm, we didn't have to lay anybody off. At Mundo Restaurant, we have a garden in back of the restaurant called the Garden of Hope that we do with candlelighters for the Children's Cancer Foundation. So this nonsensical little stance that Republicans, you know, just look at the bottom line. We are people just like anybody else, and I have always and always am looking to better our community.
In fact, I know about your Candlelighter's Garden. I think it's an awesome thing. And you're right. I'm just opening with a supposition because I want to get to the
because you want to start a fight. Okay, so
relax.
No, it's early in the morning. I'm totally relaxed. You're the one who started
this. I want to talk about the difficulties that you had getting Mingo.
Well, it's a mindset. You know, some people would like to sit and say, oh, it's a Democrat versus Republican or Democrats.
Terms of Mingo?
In terms of Mingo, that all the people in the city are you know, unionized and they're all Democrats and this is how they do. They treat every, because they, the one thing they consistently do is they treat everybody alike. They didn't treat me any different than they treat any of their friends, because this bureaucratic nonsense has gotten so thick and so full of it. It's an oligarchy. It's like a turd in a punch bowl. You just can't get it out. I mean,
nobody wants to touch it.
Nobody wants to take any kind of responsibility for it. It doesn't make sense. You know, someone said, oh, well, you know, you go get a business license and look, it's only $500. Well, that's absolutely not true. It's $500 to the city and $500 to Metro to investigate you and $500 to the health department. And then all of a sudden, when you get done and you wake up and you look at the bill is like, you know, $7,000 for licensing fees. To create jobs to put people back to work, okay? And then I'm told, you know, because they're already overtaxing everybody, I'm told, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to give you money back. If you invest all this money in downtown, we're going to give you back. I mean, you got to fill out forms that are like 6 inches thick, and they're going to give you a whopping $50,000 back. But if they weren't overcharging for fees in the first place, they wouldn't have to give that money back. They wouldn't have a program to give money back. So, look.
Let me ask you one thing about this. And you and I talked about this months ago. Is this job security? Is that what our essentially
well,
our
is,
government?
It, listen, I had a guy.
For government employees.
Listen, can I tell you how ridiculous it is? I had a guy that was just honest with me. First of all, I hired architects to design my building, and the people at the city that review the plans are not architects, and they're making changes, and they're not even architects, and they're deciding what's. And I had a guy tell me, look, you have to meet the energy code. You have to take all these beautiful brick walls that we had a great, beautiful plan for, and you have to fur them out, and you have to put drywall on them, and you have to do this. And we're going through, and the cost was like $34,000. I said, why am I doing this? And they said, because you got to meet the energy code. I said, well, hold on, cowboy. You approved an indoor-outdoor bar because we have two 10-foot by 5.5-foot wide windows where people can come up from the outside and sit down and enjoy a beer outside, and it's an inside bar. So there is no energy code. So it's absolutely nonsense. And I went to a guy, and I said, why is it taking so long for my plans to get done? And he goes, because I'm trying to keep my job.
Somebody actually admitted to you.
Yeah, they admitted to me.
It's interesting. I don't know if this is true or you were exaggerating. You said your place was inspected. I counted maybe four dozen times in over a period of 6 to 8 months.
Oh, easy. And it's probably more. And it's not exaggeration. It's these people are all trying to justify. But, you know, because this was such a major... Listen, Joe, what I did downtown, this was a major project. I mean, it was a whopping 2,100 square feet.
Now, I'm just, Mingo, the restaurant we're talking about, is an art square.
We strive to use the highest quality product we can put out, and we provide the highest quality service. And we do everything first class because we want people to have an experience when they come into our operations. We want people, when they come to Mundo and sit down, we want them to be able to come down and bring their date. Mundo is a restaurant for lovers. I mean, it's designed that way. It's very romantic. And that's what our goal was. Mingo is a ultra lounge that is designed, I think, superior to anything downtown or on the strip. You've been in Mingo. I mean, this is a place where we want people to come during lunch and have a good lunch and have a good time and have a great atmosphere, and then come at 8-9 o'clock at night, you have an ultra lounge clubby feeling, and it's just it's a fun, cool place.
Now, I'm going to get back to this oversight a little bit. The government, I'm a believer in some government oversight. I mean, just look at what deregulation in certain areas of banking led to in this country. But having gotten to know so many people downtown who have gone through endless hassles with bureaucracies here and who have been threatened or harassed by bureaucrats, I wonder who is watching the watchers. Like, who do somebody like you?
You've seen me. I go down when I get it. Look, when they did this nonsense to the food truck guys, I own two restaurants. Now, who do you think would be adversely affected by food trucks more than me? And I went down and I spoke on behalf of the food trucks. And I said, stop this nonsense with 100 foot or 50 foot or 90 foot or however many feet you want to. A food truck does not impact my restaurant. And they're a quality, and they're trying to. But the government, man, once something starts operating, they want to control it. Once something becomes successful, they want their slice of the pie. And that's the problem.
Now, with Mingo finally did open a few months ago.
Yes.
I'm curious as to how, you know, how are things going downtown? I mean, obviously, if you're a business owner, it's great. But I
no,
mean,
it's
really,
extraordinary. Look, it's extraordinarily tough. Listen, since 36 days ago when they started foreclosing on all the houses in Las Vegas, and now we're the number one foreclosure in the United States again, business has dropped precipitously. I mean, we've probably... Our business is probably off 12-14%, as is every business downtown, because people are now afraid again, because they don't know what they're going to do. You know, the government involvement in the mortgage crisis was so overbearing that they went in and they picked the big guys they wanted to survive when they screwed everybody else. And instead of going in and letting those guys fail and letting investors go take that property and then go to homeowners and say, look, you know, this is what you owed on your house. We know it's not worth that. Let's make a deal. Now the bankers control everything again. They're not making any deals. They make zero deals. If you look at the percentage of how many people's houses are under, they make no deals for anybody. So now everybody's afraid again. So people that used to go out, you know, we need people to go out 5 to 6 times a month. Now they're going out 2 times a month. So unless you have something great like Mundo, like Mingo, I don't think you can survive the market. And it's tough for both of us right now.
And you can really correlate that foreclosure difference.
Oh, sure.
With your business drop.
Absolutely.
Government isn't all evil, all bad. I mean, you wouldn't have government without the infrastructure in place.
Certainly not. I mean, look, you can say you're an anarchist, you don't want any government, but you got to have someone fix the streets. They seem to be okay at that. You got to have someone... But I'm a guy that advocates privatization. There's no reason for the government to be in the Department of Motor Vehicles business. That's nonsense. They can privatize that. And if they privatize that, you'd see a much smoother, much leaner operation.
I could talk about ambulances.
You
and everything
could talk
else.
About all that. And, well, when they privatized ambulances, they're run 10 times more efficiently, and it's a better thing. I mean, I'm for at every opportunity that you can privatize to privatize. Because whenever you put something in an entrepreneurial hand, you create commerce and you create jobs.
Now, I'm Joe Downtown. I write a column under Joe Downtown in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. This is the Joe Downtown Show at KUNV 91.5 FM. The Source, I'm talking to George Harris, owner of the downtown businesses Mundo Mingo and a former mayoral candidate who also distills his own alien tequila. So let's skip talk of booze and just get right to the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the word alien for your tequila really come from? What do you know that I don't know, that most of the public doesn't know?
Listen.
Hold on. let me back that up a little bit. You worked in the military, specifically for the late Philip Corso, who wrote the book The Day After Roswell, in which he says he was in charge of the reverse engineering of technology found on a crashed flying saucer in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. I've read the book.
You read the book. I'm impressed. I gave you a
I read it years and years ago.
Oh, yeah. I gave you a homework assignment, and you read the book. That's pretty good.
Fiber optics, integrated circuit chips, and other developments resulted. And you believe that. What do you mean it's all true? How do you know? What did?
It's 100% true because I was there. I was in the 4 psychological operations. I had some great jobs. I got into aliens. I love aliens. Everybody knows that. Look, I had to create a job where I could generate enough cash to, you know, to be able to do what I like to do. I love aliens. I like the whole concept of aliens. I believe that there are aliens out there.
Have you ever dated one?
I dated a lot of aliens, let me tell you.
So you're a firm believer that, I mean, obviously you are. I mean, I know you're not joking.
No, I'm not joking. I'm very serious. It's a very serious thing. I'm a ufologist. I take it very seriously. I do a lot of time, take a lot of effort studying. Colonel Corso was not...
What did you do for Colonel Corso?
I just knew him. Let's just say that.
What, did you take people out for him?
What I did in the military was you know, a good job. I had a great gig in the military.
Am I going to get a call from somebody tomorrow saying, no, he really wasn't in the military?
Sure. You know what you can do? You can call the Review Journal when someone said that I wasn't in the military and they were given my military records.
Give me a little bit about the alien-human hybrid test.
There's a possibility you're a hybrid. You know, look, they're hybrid aliens. I'm a hybrid alien. I can tell you if...
What, can you read my mind? Do you have a third eye? How do you know?
Well, I'm a clairvoyant, that's for sure, and I can see things before they happen, long before they happen.
Tell me one thing.
A person can walk by me, and I can tell you if that person's going to be here in the next 6 months or a year. I don't tell anybody anymore because I was doing it, and on three occasions it happened. So, sure. I mean, you can go ask other people.
Well, you're speaking this without breaking rhythm, even though I'm rolling my eyes.
Right. There's no reason to. I'm factual in what I say. I don't lie. Listen, you said you want to hear something that's going to happen in the future. The Second Roman Empire is coming to an end.
I've been to Italy, clear. So I guess it's a small little place.
The United States is the Second Roman Empire. And the Second Roman Empire is, unfortunately,
a lot of people have said that, though. I mean, that's not that. Is it coming to an end in 6 months?
No, it's coming to an end after you die, but it's coming to an end. And it shouldn't come to an end, but there's going to be, in the next 12 months, there's going to be extraordinarily horrible weather-related events. And there's going to be two horribly horrific earthquakes in the next 12 months.
Okay.
You asked me to predict something, that's what's going to happen.
I predict the show's going to end in a few minutes with my interview with George. But I do want to say, really quickly, what's the alien-human hybrid test? You did it to me. You said I'm part one. I just think it's funny. So
it's
just
not
say
funny.
It.
I mean, it has a lot to do with if you have, look, if
touch
if,
the back of your head and
touch
what?
Touch the back of your head, and if you feel a nodule on the back of your head, it's most likely that you have alien lineage in your body. If you're extraordinarily intelligent, you have alien lineage in your body. So
guess where we're at talking about aliens? Yeah. It's got to be downtown Las Vegas. I've been talking to George Harris, a downtown businessman, about the realities of getting businesses off the ground in Las Vegas and some otherworldly things. George, it's been a pleasure talking to you, as always.
And watch the Kardashians, because I'll be on the Kardashians in the third or fourth show of the new season. So
very good. I hope we can have you on again.
That's pretty cool.
It was very fun.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Bye,
George.
Thanks. Bye. Now we turn to Daniela Capitano, another soon-to-be small business owner downtown. Capitano has run a women's fashion boutique, American Vagabond, out of a tiny space in the Emergency Arts Building on the second floor of the building we're sitting in right now. In little more than a month, she's taking her show on the road, well, actually a block or so east, to become one of several dozen tenants in the new downtown container park, one of the most unique concepts. I'm reluctant to call it a mall, but it is space for retail, restaurants, and bars ever constructed in Las Vegas. Unlike many of the other tenants in the container park, however, Capitano is doing it on her own. Though leasing the space, she is not a partner with the downtown project, which is building the container park. She is sinking her own money into the building, the inventory, the employees, and everything else that goes into a small business. So you can kind of see where we're going here. If it works, it's all gravy for Daniela, but if it fails, well, let me ask that, Daniela. Do you think about what you'll do if it doesn't work? Is this a worry? I mean, what are your thoughts now a few weeks away from opening?
I try not to think about that. I always wanted to have my own business. It's something that I've been preparing for since I graduated college. So it's definitely been a learning experience doing it on my own and figuring out things and learning lessons. But thinking about if it's not going to work, I'm not even going there right now.
What's been the difficulty? I know you. Your office is near the Sun office. I know you don't want to think about failure, but what are some of the difficulties? What have been some of the worries?
I guess the main worry for me is just when we're going to open, when we're actually going to be able to get in, open, and...
Why is that a worry? It's going to open, you know. It's in the God's hands.
Because that's what I do.
Okay. So you also didn't take money. I don't even know if you approached the Downtown Project for money. I won't get into that, but why? Why are you doing it on your own?
The reason why I'm doing it on my own, this is something that I've wanted to do pretty much my whole life. So ever since I've had a job, I've just always saved and always just mentally prepared for this moment. So to do it on my own means a lot to me, to not have to ask for help or ask for money. Something that mm-hmm. I've just always wanted to do.
Now I have 5 shirts at home. I wash them every week, and I wear the same shirt on Monday, another one Tuesday. Essentially, people who know me know that. So what I'm getting at is I'm not a fashion guy. How does somebody who's a little kid know they want to get into fashion, which to me might be one of the most boring topics in the world?
I grew up in the fashion industry. My family used to manufacture in downtown Los Angeles. My mother was a fashion designer. So it's, you know... Growing up around that, I fell in love with it and always knew that it's what I wanted to do.
Well, to a schlub like me, what does fashion do? I mean, how does it benefit anybody? I mean, as long as I can wear clothes to cover, you know, my parts and everything, I'm fine.
For me, it's a form of personal expression. It's a way of it's a creative outlet for me. It's a way to show people who I am or, you know, how I'm feeling or a mood I'm in.
But does it help them?
It helps other people if they feel it's the same creative outlet that I do, mm-hmm. you know.
Did you go to school or this thing, or are you just like dreaming this stuff up on your own?
No. I went to FIDM in Los Angeles and did merchandise marketing, and I went to FIT and did fashion
design.
Now,
those are those $200 over the internet
yes.
colleges?
Yes, exactly.
I'm joking. Those are probably some prestigious.
No, yeah. FIT is one of the top design schools for fashion design in the country.
Mm-hmm. So. And do they whip you into shape at these places? What do they do to you?
Yes. There's not a lot of sleeping. It's a lot of work, a lot of hours. It's very intense.
So is there one particular area of design that you that is your forte? Do you design, like, what is it, bikinis, thongs, dresses, headbands?
No.
the piano tie? Is Zoolander your favorite movie?
Yes.
Me too.
I love it. Right now I haven't really been focusing on design. It's more styling, more with the retail store curating a collection of clothing from different vendors that would look like a collection. So no designing right now.
Now, they want to make the Downtown Project a place that is known for women's clothing. I know that. That's one of their charges. So I think they're going to put some focus on it. You're on the first floor of a 3-story cubicle structure, right?
Yes.
So they obviously, I think, want to, even though you're not one of them, I mean, you're not taking money, they want you to succeed. They want everybody to succeed. I mean, they'll get their rent and everything like that. So, I mean, how are they helping you out?
I think they see... I mean, there's a huge advantage here in Vegas for fashion. I think that there's a huge opportunity to kind of create a style downtown that's not associated with the style of the Strip. You know, there's a lot more culture going on down here. There's a lot more people who are into the artistic side of fashion and fashion design and being creative and using that as an outlet. So I feel like they see that and the potential in that and want downtown Vegas to have that as well.
If you had to, you know, you've been to New York, L.A., highfalutin cities like that, where I guess people don't just wear jeans and t-shirts every day like they do here. I mean, people probably use words with multi-syllables and such. Now, what's coming from that to this backwater Las Vegas? I don't know, was it a culture shock for you to see the fashion we have here? I mean, just look at Richard, our photographer over here.
No, I see the potential in downtown. I see where it's going and what it could be. So no, it wasn't a culture shock. I think there's a lot of very stylish people downtown. So
if you had to describe the Vegas style, are we like little LA? What are we?
I would say if downtown New York and downtown LA had a baby, it would be downtown Las Vegas.
God, what? So something that talks fast but is kind of laid back and doesn't mind a lot of traffic.
Uh-huh.
But and wears flip-flops in black.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're talking to Daniela Capitano. I'm Joe Shaneman. This is the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM, The Source. We're taping out of the Beat Coffee House in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Daniela is a designer, and she's about to open a store in the downtown Container Park, which I believe is going to open in November after the Life is Beautiful Festival. Do you want to open during the Life is Beautiful Festival?
I think it would be great if we were prepared and ready for it, but I think it might be a challenge just if we're not ready. I would love to be open for it, but I don't think we'll be prepared.
You want to be mentally prepared as well.
Yeah.
You want to know, understand the business operations before
yes.
you see 60,000 people over 2 days or 70 or whatever it is.
For me, being a new business owner, inventory, staffing, just figuring all that stuff out and not really knowing. So if we're not going to be prepared, I don't mind not being open for Life is Beautiful.
I'm reluctant to ask this next question, knowing what a smarty pants you are. But if you had to say what I need to do fashion-wise, well, maybe we should use Richard instead. Oh, no.
No. We'll use you.
Yeah, I mean, I wear shorts every day. I wear these same running shoes and pretty much this polo shirt or a t-shirt every day. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be hard to say how I could improve, but in your kindest, nicest way, what would you say I should do?
Check your shirts for stains before you come to the Beat.
Okay, I had one stain on my shirt this morning, coffee stain. I washed that out. Name another thing.
I think you'd look good in jeans and a sweater.
Sweater, it's too hot in Vegas. I'm from Wisconsin.
It gets cold in the winter.
It doesn't get cold here.
Yes, it does.
If you think 50 is cold...
I grew up in L.A., 50's cold.
That's streaking weather to me.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Well, we're going to wrap this up. I'm talking to Daniela Capitano, who's going to open a store in the downtown Container Park. The store is going to be called American Vagabond. She also has a store for the next 4 or 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, in the Emergency Arts Building, which is where we're at right now. Daniela, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Same.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.